Hello, Faith Builders. Thank you for being here today and joining in. This will be our last lesson in this series, By Him, For Him, and Through Him. I hope you saw the email sent out New Year's Day telling us that we can start meeting again in person on January the 10th. So I hope that you can be there. I know that a lot of people are getting vaccines, but still need to remain cautious until we get the second vaccine and things start leveling out even more, decreasing in numbers. So we'll still meet and follow the precautions that we have before and be mindful of other folks and try to help each other through this. It was a very good thing to hear that the Amarillo numbers have been decreasing and smoothing out a little bit, so that's some good news for the new year. I hope you're enjoying this new year, and I hope and pray that it's much better than last year, and looking forward to it, and hope that we can be together more often for our Bible study. I want to thank you again for your generosity. Just wanted to pass this on. I know in my email that I gave you some information about some of the giving, but just so you know, just here in this one month, in the month of December, Faith Builders has helped about 14 individuals to the tune of over $27,000 with rent and mortgage and utilities, things that are medical expenses, things that are needed for them. We help them end the year in good shape, I hope, and help them get a good start on this next year. We also helped 11 different charities and missions to the tune of almost $40,000. Some of these were second and third times that we have given to these groups. Most of them are providing food for homeless people, providing food for underprivileged folks. Most of them are sharing the gospel as they're providing the food. So we've been supporting these groups all throughout the year, so it was nice to help them one more time finish up the year strong also. But it's because of your generosity, and we certainly appreciate it. And as it says in Corinthians, that all praise is due Him. Our generosity causes people to overflow with praise to God, and that's what we want. So we thank you. We thank you so much. Well, let's have a word of prayer, and we will get started with our last lesson in this series. Our Almighty God, we thank you for what you have done through the Faith Builders class this last year. In spite of only meeting 20 times throughout the whole year, you have worked through them in miraculous ways that show that their hearts are for you, that their hands are open and ready to give. And God, the leadership of the class has prayed to show us where you want your funds to go, and you've shown us that, and you've shown us over and over that we can't outgive you, and you are just magnificent in all your ways, and we thank you, we praise you for all that you do in our lives. God, as we look through your word, Holy Spirit, open our eyes, open our hearts to what you have for us, because we know your word is eternal. We know it's true. We know that every time that we study it and dig deep, we get closer to you, the author. So be with us today, and thank you again for your blessings immeasurable in our lives. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Well, from last week, we looked at For Him. All things were created for Him. We looked at the seeming contradiction of all things created by Him and for Him. So were things created by Jesus for Himself? But no, we're once again pointing to the Godhead, the triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. All creation was done by the triune God. So all these things were created by God and for Jesus, because he would be the firstborn over all creation. Therefore, he is the heir of all things. In Hebrews 1, he spells out that God appointed Jesus heir of all creation. Being the firstborn son, he would inherit all things. God the Father, the giver, and God the Son, the inheritor. So we see the triune God working in conjunction, the personages working together as one. Jesus tells his disciples, as he is about to leave the earth after his resurrection, he tells them, all power and authority has been given to me. This was spelled out in prophecy thousands of years in advance, that the Messiah would end up inheriting all things and ruling over all things. So Jesus has power and authority. We looked at Psalm 2 and Psalm 110, both of which talks about the Son inheriting all things and ruling over all things. And specifically, it talks about ruling with an iron scepter, which means judging and ruling over all the nations, which pops up again in Revelation 19. When Jesus comes his second time, he will come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords and rule over the nations with an iron scepter, judging all things. We have to remember that the Bible promises everyone who is in Christ is a co-heir with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings. So for eternity, we will rule over all things with Christ. It's what Scripture says. It's pretty awesome, astounding thought that you and I, mere man, would be ruling with Christ, inheriting all things with Christ. But that's what the Scripture says. So it's wonderful to see all things created by him, for him, and today we look at through him. So if you look at slide 9, that's where we're going to start today. So all things created through him, and Colossians says, and in him all things hold together. All things hold together. If you look at John 1, it says in verse 3, through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. So through him all things were made. Without him there was nothing. It was nothing came into existence without Christ, a member, a personage of the Godhead. Hebrews 1:2 again spells out that, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. Through Jesus, God made the universe. So God spoke the universe into existence. His word created all things. And so what does John say about the word? In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And then through him all things were made. Pointing out that, again, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit spoke as one in unison at creation when they said, let there be light. The triune God spoke. Since all things were made through him, through Jesus Christ, then Colossians 1:17 says, in him all things hold together. And in him all things hold together. So if everything is created through him, then in him, in Christ, all things are being held together. And in him also, John 1:4 says, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. So in him is life for all mankind, because all things were created by him, for him, and through him. So in him exists life. Our very lives are because we are made through him, and we exist because of him. It's interesting to look at that you can almost see these phases, these attributes of creation, as all things were made by him, looking back into the past. All things were made for him, looking toward the future as he inherits all things and comes over in power over all things. But then if all things are through him and held together in him, then we look at the present. We look at the existence of humanity, of the world, as in him in every moment, in the present. He is our past, present, and future, yesterday, today, and forever. Pointing out again to eternal Christ. Jesus Christ, Jesus, who is fully man, fully God, eternal existent, coexistent with God, coexistent with the Holy Spirit, part of the triune God. Now, of course, for God, all these things are not past, present, and future. They are always now for God. He doesn't see things past, present, and future. Everything is now, so he's seen all these things fulfilled. But for us, we see this present time existing as it is because Jesus Christ is holding it all together. In him, all things are held together. He is sustaining us moment by moment. He is sustaining all creation moment by moment. Well, so look at some other translations of Colossians 1:17, slide 10. So some of the other translations speak, the NIV says, in him all things hold together. The New King James is all things consist. The New Century Version says all things continue. So it's an ongoing, perpetual, sustaining, perpetual holding together that Jesus is constantly attentive to. He is in power every moment holding things together. The Darby translation, all things subsist because of Jesus Christ. Without him, you look down this list, nothing consists, nothing continues, nothing subsists, nothing is held together without Jesus Christ. And again, it's reflected in Hebrews 1:3, where he says that the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things, how? By his powerful word. Again, pointing to the very voice of God speaking with such power that he creates all things out of nothing. And then not only does he speak it into existence, Jesus Christ sustains it by his powerful word. It is so deep to think about it. It's so awesome to think about. Not only the written word of Scripture, but the spoken word out of the very mouth of God that created all things and sustains all things, that everything is held together. So as we read God's word, the Scriptures, the written word, we are reflecting that very voice of God himself. And that's how we get closer to the author. Again, all of these things are reflected in Revelation 4:11 because it says that he created all things and they were created and have their being. Revelation 4:11. So not only were you and I born, but we have our very moment-by-moment existence. Our very being is in him. We have our being. So we are at present held together and sustained by him. We continue because of the existence of Jesus Christ. And when you think about the power behind that is that he is constantly attentive. He is constantly focused on continuing and sustaining you and I, as well as all creation. So that's just phenomenal to think through. It's too big, almost. So let's put this in perspective. Let's kind of let our minds ponder just a little bit, but let's think about how big this is. So if you go on to slide 11, so we go back to the beginning of the universe, when there was nothing. Now, the evolution theory teaches that the Earth is about 4 to 6 billion years old, but the universe is about 13.5 billion years old. Okay, that's what the astronomers and scientists, physicists say. What the story is about evolution is that there was a Big Bang, the Big Bang theory, that there was existing a ball of mass that was so heavy that it contained all of the universe, and at some point it exploded. And in a trillion, 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 trillionth of a second, everything that was came into existence came out of that explosion, the Big Bang. Now then, you and I know that God spoke them into being in even less time than that. The foundational issue is, number one, for the evolutionists, is where did that ball of mass come from? They can't answer that. Of course, they come back and say, well, where did God come from? Our answer is that God has always existed. He is eternal and infinite. So they could say, well, that ball of mass was always there too, which doesn't make sense. So our argument is that there is a God, and he is the creator of all things, makes a whole lot more sense. But what they say is, in that moment of creation, the four foundational forces of nature came into being. Those four forces of nature are gravity, the weak nuclear force, the strong nuclear force, and electromagnetism. Those four forces are foundational to the existence of all creation, all the universe. Now then, these are the forces that we know of. Science is still searching for other forces that are extremely small in particles and extremely large in the size of the universe. We don't know, but this is what scientists and astronomers and physicists are still looking for. But these four forces we rely on as existing and remaining constant. And it is because of these four forces that most of what occurs in the man-made world is dependent on the constancy of these forces. You know, just an example, an architecture designing a building relies on the constant force of gravity when he's designing that building. That building has a weight, and it is affected by gravity. And so part of that building's design is dependent on gravity remaining the same. And so we've always depended on these forces to remain. So gravity is the force that not only holds us to the Earth, but it holds planets in orbit. It does all sorts of things in the universe. The weak nuclear force is down at the atomic level, and it has to do with particle decay, which allows one element to be converted into another. Now then, just for out of interest, for the universe to exist as it does requires that hydrogen be converted to helium in a precise but comparatively stately manner, specifically in a way that converts 7/1000th of its mass to energy. Lower that value very slightly from 0.007 to 0.006, and no transformation could take place. The universe would consist of hydrogen and nothing else. Raise that value very slightly to 0.008, and bonding would be so wildly prolific that the hydrogen would long since have been exhausted. In either case, with the slightest tweaking of the numbers, the universe as we know and need it would not be there. So it wouldn't exist, which points to how finely tuned everything in the universe is. You change just minute things in these forces and everything falls apart. So that's the weak nuclear force, is particle decay converting one element into another. The strong nuclear force is down at the atomic and subatomic level. That's what holds the particles orbiting the nucleus of an atom. It's that binding action. And of course, without that, everything flies apart. And then the electromagnetic force is subatomic. Begins as subatomic, it's the interaction between particles, electrons, neutrons, protons, things like that. But it's also up to the power of the sun's electromagnetic force for fusion, which creates heat in the sun. It affects the Earth's magnetic field. So all of these forces supposedly came into existence in the trillionths of a second after the Big Bang. Well, I have a whole lot easier time believing that there is a creator God who is all-wise and all-powerful, who spoke everything into existence. From a scriptural perspective, then, these forces have been sustained by Jesus Christ since creation. Their consistency that we rely on is because of Him. He holds these things together and therefore maintains the universe through them. Now then, here's an interesting quote. I've used it before in one of our lessons, but it still fascinates me. Go to the next slide. Now then, this is at CERN, C-E-R-N in Switzerland. This is where the Large Hadron Super Collider is, where they're smashing atoms and nuclei of atoms and trying to find the most basic particles of the universe. It's an amazing facility. But here's one of the quotes from one of the physicists. It says, "All of our observations find a complete symmetry between matter and antimatter." So matter is everything that you can see, stars, planets, our world, the mountains, the trees, everything that you can see, touch, feel, that's matter. Antimatter is the dark stuff of the universe. And so what physicists say is that there is dark matter out there, far more dark matter, but it's not the same weight as matter, but it is matter that holds the universe together, between matter and antimatter. But what they're saying is it's a symmetry, and they say, which is why the universe should not actually exist. It says an asymmetry must exist here somewhere, but we simply do not understand where the difference is. So what they're saying is, if matter and antimatter are perfectly in balance, then the universe shouldn't exist. There has to be a discrepancy between the two for the universe to even exist. And so that makes me think about Isaiah 40, verse 12. And he asks the question, who has weighed the mountains on the scales and the hills in a balance? Who is it that knows the weight of matter and the mass of antimatter? Well, God does, because He spoke it into existence. But you think of through this quote, this perfect symmetry. Who is so good at perfect symmetry? And it is God the Creator, the God omnipotent and omniscient God who knows everything and has created all things. He is the master of perfect symmetry. So for what is a mystery to physicists that can't figure out why this universe exists, we can answer completely and perfectly that, well, there's a creator, an all-knowing creator. He put it together. And then who is it that holds that perfect symmetry together? Well, it says Jesus Christ in all things. He holds together all things in Him. He is the one who sustains this perfect symmetry and contains and holds the universe together. Again, this points to a perfectly tuned, finely tuned universe a finely tuned, perfectly tuned world that we live on. This earth is an amazing thing. Because here we are, a planet that is orbiting a star, our sun, and it is in a perfect position in this solar system. A little bit closer to the sun, we would burn up. Just a little bit further from the sun, we would freeze. But we're in a perfect position. We have a perfect size moon that exists at a perfect distance from the Earth. It controls our tides, our oceans, the existence of it that has something to do with the tilt of our planet. That is all so perfect that any of these things out of adjustment, even minutely, and we wouldn't exist. We see our solar system that's perfectly positioned in the Milky Way galaxy. We're not too close to the center of the galaxy. Our Milky Way is a spiral galaxy. It's spiraling around a central point. The astronomers believe that that's a black hole. And so as we're spinning around, that black hole is actually kind of sucking things into it. But we're positioned far enough out that we're not worrying about being sucked into the black hole. But we're not too far out, because in a spiral galaxy, if you're too far out, you're going to get spun out into space. So we're in a perfect position in our galaxy. And then I'm amazed at just looking at our globe, our Earth. Our Earth is 8,000 miles in diameter. 8,000 miles in diameter. All of humanity exists in a thin 3-mile band on the outer surface of that globe. All humanity exists from sea level to about 15,000 feet in elevation. So just a sliver of a band of 3 miles out of an 8,000 mile diameter ball contains all of humanity. And then you say, and if this is the only life in the universe, that is such a minuscule zone of habitation. How in the world could that have evolved into existence? And in that 3-mile band, you have perfect atmosphere, you have perfect gases, you have seasons, you have tides, you have a water system, you have soil with nutrients for growth, you have plants and animals that exist, coexist together, producing oxygen and carbon dioxide. You have this incredible system that is so perfect, again, that if you change any of these things, we don't exist. So we have to look back at Scripture and see that all these things continue in Him, in Jesus Christ. They are sustained by His Word. That each one of us, so you go from the universe, and you go from our globe, you know, and keep getting smaller. Now then, I mean, just think about each one of us. Then that means that because Jesus Christ exists and sustains all things, then I can take my next breath because of Him. And without Him, I don't take that next breath. Our next heartbeat is because of Him. Our next involuntary muscle movement. As I speak, your eardrums are vibrating. And it's vibrating because He is sustaining it. He is continuing to allow that to occur. The next atom that decays in my body is replaced by a new atom. I have cells that are constantly dividing and multiplying and dying off. We have white blood cells in our systems that attack viruses. We have systems within us that process food and turn it into energy. So we see the physical nature of ourselves and realize that we continue every day because Jesus sustains it. He allows it to subsist. We have our being in Him. And that doesn't even start to scratch the surface of our consciences. The spiritual level, our knowledge, our wisdom. Where in the world can that be explained by evolution? Evolution has to do with survival of the fittest, physical changes. Where does our conscience come in? How do we know right from wrong based on evolution? If it was pure evolution, then it would just be the smartest, the quickest. It wouldn't have anything to do with our conscience. It would just be a thought process of how do I kill this other person before he kills me, or how do I eat this other animal before he eats me? It would just be a thought process, a survival instinct. But that doesn't begin to answer the question, why do we exist? Why are we here? No other creature asks that question. So again, it's because we were created and made in His image that we have consciences or spirits or wisdom at all. And He is the one that sustains all things. So how are we able to do all these things? And most of them without thought. So go to the next slide. Well, how are we able to do these things? And most of them without even thinking it? It's because in Him all things hold together. It's in Him that all things consist. In Jesus Christ, all things continue by His constant hands-on power and constant attention. Jesus is in touch with the entire universe. He is in touch with you and me in constant attention. In Him, all things subsist. All things are sustained by His powerful word. And so when you look at it in that manner, we can truly say, without Him, we are nothing. As Jesus Himself says, without me, you can do nothing. Not only carry out a task, but even exist. Without Him, we are absolutely nothing. So we see all creation by Him, for Him, and through Him. So now let's take it up one more step. Go to the next slide. Back in Colossians, you read in verse 19, "For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him." So God's fullness in Jesus Christ. So again, pointing to Jesus, fully man, fully God. All His fullness dwell in Him. And through Him, here we go again, all things were made through Him, but God is about to accomplish something else. Through Him, to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven. How? By making peace through His blood shed on the cross. So through Him, through Jesus Christ, God is reconciling all things. Reconcile meaning bringing back into harmony with God Himself through the blood of Christ. So wait. Now, all things? Now, we understand Jesus' crucifixion on the cross. Through that crucifixion, the shedding of His blood, anyone who believes in that work, God is reconciling back to Himself. So you and I, we're man. We're sinners. And we believe in Jesus Christ who hung on the cross, shed His blood for us. And so through that blood, God has made peace with us and reconciled to Himself, brought you and I back into harmony with Himself through Jesus' blood shed on the cross. But He says all things in heaven and earth. So not only you and I who have consciences and wisdom and knowledge, but the entire creation, which points exactly what Paul says in Romans 8. All creation is out of harmony. Because of the fall of man, all creation is groaning. All creation is not what it's supposed to be. And so even through the blood on the cross, God is reconciling all of creation back to himself. All the earth, all of the universe, God is bringing back into harmony through the blood on the cross, which points exactly to what we're talking about. All things consist, they were made through him, and in him, all things hold together. That makes perfect sense, then, that God is reconciling all creation, no matter what it is, all things that were made by him, for him, and through him. In him, all things will be reconciled back to God, brought back into harmony with God. So Christ, through his shed blood, God reconciles all things from the four forces of nature. He's bringing back into harmony with God, even the forces of nature. To our corrupt minds, all things will be back in peace with God through Jesus Christ. In him, all things hold together. It's just so beautiful to see these things and to ponder them, the immensity of what it meant. And like I say, you start with this little tiny baby in a manger in Bethlehem and look at him as a creator, the sustainer, the heir of all creation. And then you see him hung on the cross, shedding his blood for you and I, and realizing, even through his shed blood, all creation is being brought back into harmony with God the Father. So as we end up, we look again and see that all things were made by him. Christ was before all things. He created all things. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit spoke as one in unison when they said, "Let there be light." All things were made for him. Christ, the firstborn over all creation, he inherits all things. All things were made for him to rule over for eternity and possess to the ends of the earth. And finally, all things were made through him. All things hold together in him. We are sustained by him. Through him, all things were made. Therefore, through him, God will reconcile all creation back to himself. Therefore, you come to the absolute conclusion that Christ is supreme. He is unique in all things, and we are truly nothing without him. It is a beautiful thing to see, and it's all the way through Scripture, so we know that it is true. We are in the midst of waiting for all of this to come to completion. In the mind of God, in eternity, it's already done. It's already done through his Son, Jesus Christ. And we look forward to his return when all things come into completion. Blessings through him. Thank you for being here, and we look forward to seeing you on the 10th. I hope you can make it. If not, we'll still continue to post the lessons online so that you can listen in and keep up. So let's have a word of prayer. Our dear Father, we thank you again for your word. It is so amazing, the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. From eternity, God, your wisdom planned this. It was carried out according to your power, your wisdom. Through the Son, through the Holy Spirit, we see all these things that are true in your word. We thank you, Jesus, for willingly making yourself man and coming to live and dwell among us, being crucified and shedding blood for our sins. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for coming to dwell in us and guide us into all truth and show us your word and what you have for us to bring to remembrance all things that Jesus has said. We thank you, God, for all your love and everything that you do in our lives. In your Son's name, amen. Thank you.